Hello, and welcome to our Institute of Nutritional Endocrinology Open Office Hours call for the month of May 2015. Welcome, welcome. This is a call that's open to folks that are in our NEPT program as well as our self-study versions of a variety of different programs. So we're excited to have you here. And here's where you get to ask questions about any of the course content, ask questions about any of your client cases that you're working on. It's just generally get some coaching on how you can proceed to provide the absolute best service care possible to your clients. So the way that the calls work, welcome to those of you who are new, and the way that it works is that we do a start to on the telephone keypad to raise your hand and ask me a question, and then we also have two ways of typing in questions. One is basically a one-way street, and that's where it says questions to the side. I prefer if we just use one, but some people just like to do it that way. The other is the chat. Now, sometimes the chat doesn't work. It's in beta mode, so they still are calling it beta mode, and that gives them the out for when it doesn't work quite all the time. But the chat gives us a two-way conversation where I can see your questions, I can respond back, and you can respond back to each other. And generally, Lynn is on calls like this, and she will respond back and add links and, you know, clarify various things. So we appreciate that. Thank you, Lynn. So let's just go ahead and get started. Right now, it looks like Lynn is on, and that's about it. Lynn and me are on the chat. And it looks like a group of us are on the phone. And we have one hand up already. So star two raises your hand. And let's see who this is. This is Bakersfield, California. Skype
okay,
user.
Hello.
Oh, hello, Ghislaine.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
Okay. So I have a question for you. I have a new case, and I didn't start working with her, but she said she has a chronic fatigue.
Chronic fatigue.
And,
okay.
Chronic fatigue, and she told me she gets up at 4:30 in the afternoon. That means, I guess, her adrenal, I don't know about if it's adrenal fatigue she has, because I think chronic fatigue is not the same than adrenal fatigue, but it can be, adrenal fatigue can be part of it.
Exactly. It can all be part of the syndrome. So she wakes up. She gets up out of bed at 4:30 in the afternoon?
Yeah.
And then what time does she go to sleep at night?
Oh, I don't know yet. I haven't talked to her long enough.
Okay.
But I know that's what she told me. And, I haven't dig deep yet. I'm going to have a consultation with her. But
right.
Before that, I would like to have some, your opinion on that.
Okay, so what's your question, though? What would you like, some direction on the...
What can it be, a chronic fatigue?
You really got to dig, because it's a wastebasket diagnosis sometimes. Like, oh, you have chronic fatigue. You don't care what the diagnosis is. You want to know what the mechanism is and what the underlying issues are. So when you ask, when she says, I wake up at 4:30 in the afternoon, you want to know what time is she going to bed. Now, if she's going to bed at 4:30 in the morning, that says to me that her circadian rhythm is way off. And you want to know why, unless, of course, she's working the night shift, right? But if she says she's going to bed at 9 o'clock at night and waking up at 4:30 in the afternoon,
she's not working because of the fatigue. She's not working.
Right. So you just want to do your standard history, like how long has this been happening? When was the last time she felt well? And just really review that whole history-taking process, because you want to know what's causing this fatigue. Is it her adrenals? Probably a big part of it. Is there some thyroid issues? Possibly. Does she have some digestive issues? Does she have food allergies? What is she eating? Does she have a gluten sensitivity? So you want to ask questions so that you can understand fully what all the things that are going into this. Chronic fatigue often has, like I said, a wastebasket diagnosis. So you have chronic fatigue. You know, unrelenting fatigue, it's been going on for a certain length of time. It can interfere with your life. But you want to know why. So you don't never want to know that she has chronic fatigue. why does she have chronic fatigue? What are the things going? Maybe she has blood sugar imbalances. Maybe she has all of the above. Maybe her diet is horrible, right? You want to know, is she eating this pristine diet and exercising? Well, she can't exercise because she doesn't have energy, but you know what I mean? So you have to ask all these questions. That's what I would look at. And yes,
yeah,
you want to look at her adrenals for sure.
Yeah. So have you worked with somebody like that or chronic fatigue?
You work on it?
If you have worked with someone who had chronic fatigue. Yeah.
Sure.
Is it a hard case? Is it difficult to work with them?
Depends on what's causing it. Does she have an autoimmune disease that's causing it? Does she have gluten sensitivity and you might take her off? If this person comes in and she's on a great diet already, it's going to be harder to deal with to figure out why. What are her exposures? Are there specific environmental issues? So it's all the standard stuff. There's no, like, protocol that we follow. There's the dig in deep, what's going on, and then where do we go from there?
Okay, so let's see the time to that she can get have more energy and starting to function well. What can we look at? Like 6 months, a year? How long does it take to?
I don't know because I don't know enough about her, and neither do you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
See, we don't work in a kind of medicine or medical model that's here's a disease, here's the prognosis. We don't care what they call it. You want to know why. What's going on in her body? Does she have a parasite? Does she have dysbiosis? Does she have heavy metal poisoning? Does she have a mouthful of fillings? Right? So if you review all the stuff in our history-taking module, you're going to know the kind of questions to ask.
Okay?
Like, what is she eating? You know, that standard form that we give you, like that, I don't know, 3 or 4 page form that's really the basic.
Oh, yeah.
What are the worst three foods she's eating? If she says the worst three foods she's eating are, you know, bananas, apples, and pears, you're like, well, what are the best three foods? And she's got, you know, green leafy vegetables and green smoothies and juices. You know that this is going to take longer, right?
Yes.
Right? What kind of hair care products do you use? If she's using all natural stuff, you're going to have to dig deeper. You're going to maybe have to look at some genetic factors and methylation issues and all. But if somebody comes in and you say, what are the three best foods you're eating? She goes, I eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on whole wheat bread, and I drink whole milk. And you're like, okay, we got places to work. And those people will tend to get a quicker response than the people who are already doing a lot of good stuff. So always, you know, somebody will say, I've been diagnosed with. Great. That's just another piece of information. You don't really care. You want to go deep.
Yeah.
Make sense?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that. Yeah.
Yep. Do everything you've been told.
Okay. I will let you know. Okay.
All right. Yeah, keep us posted.
Okay. Thank
good
you.
Good luck. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Any other questions? Star 2 to raise your hand. Let's see who we have on here. Angela. We have Vanessa. We have Beverly. Oh, we just had a whole slew of hands that just went up. All right. I'm going to put up. We have Angela, then Beverly, and then we have this blank guest that doesn't even tell me where you're from or a phone number. So if you're not Angela and you're not Beverly, and you have your hand up, that's the next one. And then Laura just raised her hand, too. All right, so Angela, hello. I don't think we've spoken.
Oh, no, hello, Dr. Marie. I'm honored to be on the phone with you and everybody else. How are you?
Hi, I'm wonderful. It's so happy to meet you.
Likewise. So, wow, I was really committed to being on the phone today and really wanted to speak with you and was just visualizing it. And then I just hopped on like 3 minutes ago and perfect. So anyway, I am I'm working with a client, and I've been studying a lot your everything at once. That's why it's all going through my head. But the metabolic reset program and balancing blood sugar, and I'm doing some work with a corporation also, in addition to private clients that I'll be speaking about balancing blood sugar. I mean, sorry, no, balancing cholesterol and blood pressure and lipids. And I've been doing a lot of research around metabolic syndrome and how it has to relate with blood sugar. And I'm just kind of confused as if, like, blood sugar imbalance is the underlying thing.
In metabolic syndrome? Is that what you mean? Yeah. That's what metabolic syndrome is. It's a severe case of blood sugar. It's like between insulin resistance and diabetes. It's like insulin resistance and blood sugar imbalance, which has gotten to an extreme where the blood pressure goes up, the lipids go up, the lipids get out of balance, the triglycerides go up, the cholesterol's up. So it's kind of the lipid changes plus the blood sugar imbalances equals metabolic syndrome.
So all of those things work together.
If we
work on solely balancing the blood sugar, will that in turn, not considering other factors, would that in turn balance cholesterol and lipids?
It can very much do that. And like you said, there may be other factors in there that have to be considered, right? And there's congenital hypercholesterolemia, if that's the case. There's a lot of other factors that might go into it. But balancing blood sugar is so overlooked in managing heart disease that it's almost criminal. So I don't know how far along you are in the insulin resistance program, but we talk a lot about how the excess insulin over time, when those cells are resistant to it, the poor blood vessel linings don't get resistant to it, and they stiffen. And it affects the blood pressure. It affects the lipid buildup. The triglycerides go up. So a lot of that stuff is factored in. And if you take that step back and get them to balance their blood sugar, bring it back into that nice 85 range versus mm-hmm. wherever they are. With metabolic syndrome, they're often in the 115 range. Right?
So would it be smart if someone comes to you and they have, like, high cholesterol and their numbers are all out of whack, but they haven't tested their blood sugar, at least recently, because it changes throughout the day, of course. Would it be smart to kind of test their blood sugar then and have them do some evaluations around their blood sugar and then kind of work on getting that in balance?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that what you can start with, usually if they come into the panel that has the high cholesterol, they're typically going to have their fasting blood sugar on it. The next other piece, if you look in, I think, module 2 of the program, we have a list of the other lab tests to do. You can do something like hemoglobin A1C, which gives you an idea of how long this problem's been going on and if it's a chronic elevation. Because even somebody with an 85 on their fasting blood sugar or 90, those people can still have high hemoglobin A1C, meaning that their sugars are going up during the day and in between. We're mostly in medicine, they don't check. They basically check that first morning. So we get that insight. Mostly doctors won't call for the hemoglobin A1C unless the fasting blood sugar is relatively high, like in the 110, 115 range. They just ignore it. Whereas you can get this early marker and go, whoa, she has an 85 fasting blood sugar, but her hemoglobin A1C is 7, which means she's having big old spikes throughout the day, which means we got to look at her diet and look at what foods are causing those spikes. Make sense?
Wow. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And the big ratio that they ignore that we look at is triglycerides HDL.
Okay. Triglycerides what?
Triglycerides HDL. To HDL.
Okay.
Right? So
that's the thing that we look at there.
That's what you can look at. Now, there's not a marker or a place for it that shows up. You just have to do the ratio. So you divide triglycerides by HDL. That number ideally should be 1. You know, 1.5 or something, somewhere between 1 and 2 is marginal. But if it's 2 or above, they've got a problem. They've got a sugar problem.
Right.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, and you can have amazing results. I think Maria just posted on the, I don't know if she's on today, but Maria posted on the Facebook page about how she started working with this guy right after he had a heart attack. And she worked the blood sugar, worked on all this stuff, got all the 5 factors of getting the blood sugar in balance. And the guy's doing phenomenally 3 months later, and she put some pictures on the Facebook page.
I don't think I'm on the Facebook page. I need to do that. I was going to ask if there was a space like that.
Yeah, absolutely. So you joined IRSPT recently? Is that
the recent? I joined the whole thing, the INE.
Oh, you did join the whole NEPT.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You should have been put on there. Lynn, can you please reach out to Angela and get her on the Facebook page? Yeah, the Facebook page is this most amazing resource. We have the most amazing people that anybody asks a question. There's, 20 responses and help and support. It's an awesome
Yay.
Place to be. Oh, you're going to love it. This group is total. I've never seen a Facebook group like this group. It's just totally amazing. They're totally phenomenal.
Yeah, I jumped in after it already started, and this is the first call I've actually made it to, so I'm really just kind of getting my feet on the ground with everything. And
I'm so glad you're here. Reach out to Lynn, reach out to Angela, send her an email. You should be, if you go onto the site, I think there's right up where it says support, yeah. If you click on the link that says support, it'll say community resources, go to Facebook. If you click that, That will take you to the Facebook page, and you just say request membership or join or something like that, and then Lynn will approve you, and you'll be in.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, and then Lynn can also set you up with a tour of the website. She does that for people. So she could set you up and just kind of take you around and, show you where the ropes are, show you where all the resources are, and that could be very helpful.
Thank you. I'm really excited. It's really, really impressive. What you've provided. I'm very grateful.
I am excited to have you here. I'm excited to just be able to have, all you excited people that are out there changing the world. I mean, this is what we're doing, right? We're changing the face of medicine. If they typically go to an MD because they have lipid problems, they're going to get a cholesterol-lowering medication, right? They're going to be put on statins or something. And that's not solving their problem. And you're going to be solving their problem.
So when I speak with a corporation, I'm speaking I have private clients that I'm starting to work with now in this area. And then I also am doing an event next week at a corporation. It's a wellness thing, and they have the medical center there testing all their numbers. And so I'm going to have kind of like a free gift there, say opt in. And then I'm already paid to come back a month later and give a workshop on getting them in balance. And I have them right in my hands, and I just really want to be clear as if blood sugar is really where I want to focus, because there's not that much information on the internet, which is not surprising, about the connection between and that how it really is underlying. So I was just a little bit confused.
Yeah, it's totally, and there's tons of it in the site. If you go to the blood sugar module and you go through just go through it step by step, and we give you that. Right in the first module is an overview, intro, and then the second one gives you assessments, and it talks about all the things. So if you can put a little bug in their ear and say, when you're doing these assessments for people or blood testing, make sure you do their hemoglobin A1C.
Great.
Okay?
Amazing. Thank you so much, Dr. Reed-Marie.
You're so welcome. And, if you can encourage people to buy the little, and I know that that's a touchy spot because people don't want to poke their fingers, but if you can really, really get to them, do you want to be the diabetic that has to check your blood sugar and has to give yourself shots or has to take medication and runs the risk of a heart attack, or do you want to do this now, see if you have a problem, and if you have a problem, address it. And if you don't, we'll know pretty quickly within a few days that your blood sugar is not an issue.
Amazing. And then I would work with cholesterol from a different angle?
That would be working the cholesterol from get to the root cause angle.
Okay.
Right. And, of course, you're looking at their diet. And part of balancing their blood sugar, of course, it's the stealth way of getting in there and changing their diet, getting them on more fresh whole foods instead of the processed junk that most of them are on and most of the doctors are saying is just fine, just get out the fat or whatever. This is powerful stuff.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Totally. I'm stoked. I'll tell you a story. I had this one young guy. He was like 23 or something, 22. He's in college, so he's probably 21. And his mom sent him to me. And he came in and we talked about his diet, and he had this 270 cholesterol, and they wanted to put him on statins. He's like 21 years old. This is ridiculous. He's a college kid. And he said, you know, my mom said there's got to be a better way. I think there's a better way. I don't want to go on drugs. I researched it. I don't want to wreck my liver by being on drugs for my whole life. What can I do differently? And we made some tweaks. He had a decent diet. And one of the tweaks I made was getting out the sugars and the refined carbohydrates, the grains. I said, just let's do a grain-free for a month. And just, you know, lots of veggies, a little bit of fruit, whole foods. His cholesterol dropped 100 points in a month.
Wow.
100 points in a month. Yep.
Yep. So his was direct blood sugar.
No, it was clearly blood sugar. And that was before I started being so adamant about getting people on it. And he would have been fine with getting a blood sugar meter, and we would have been able to hone in on it right away. But people are amazed when they go, oh, my God. And you explain to them what happens to your blood vessels when you've got that elevated blood sugar, how they get stiff and brittle. So if you have this, like, massive, like, need for, like, running or jumping or getting away, and you have this constriction or this, you know, increased pressure through the blood vessel, suddenly there's increased blood flow because you're trying to run or whatever, and the blood vessels are all stiff because of the damage from the insulin. What's going to happen? You're a heart attack waiting to happen.
Trying to run away.
Just try to get away. And most people are getting that blood pressure raised during just general life because their tigers are at them 24/7, right?
Right.
Yeah. Great question. Great discussion.
Wow. Thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
You're so welcome. Keep us posted.
Okay, I'll be on the Facebook today.
Great, wonderful. I'm glad. And Lynn, reach out to Angela. I don't know if you click the chat button, but you can probably chat with Lynn on there and get a time to get together.
I'm actually in the car, pulled over in the shade.
Oh, okay. Well, and then just right to her. All right. Thank you,
Thank
Angela.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
We have Beverly and then the blank unknown and then Laura and then Eleanor. So, Beverly, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful, thank you. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing okay, hanging in there one step at a time, one day at a time.
Great.
And I have a question for you.
Sure.
Well, I want to add something to you, to something you just said about the cholesterol, because when I became vegan, I saw my cholesterol drop 80 points within a month. Actually, it may have been 5 weeks.
Mm.
It was unbelievable.
Mm.
And it's very exciting to watch something so drastic so quickly.
Yeah.
So quick, I mean. Yeah, it's just, it was like a high. Like, oh, my God, I have this kind of power over how my body is going.
Yes. That's the thing. It's so empowering. And that's what we want to do for our clients. We don't want to give them a, do this, do that. We want to empower them to make changes and explain to them what it's going to do physiologically so that they're excited about doing it and they follow through and then they get these amazing results. So
right,
thanks.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and these are things you don't feel. So that's the other problem with it. You know, a lot of people don't understand that, well, if they don't feel it, then they must not have to worry about it. And farthest thing from the truth, as we know.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, most of the average people don't know, and we need, it's up to you know, us as coaches and practitioners to try to reinforce this concept to our patients and clients that it's important that, you know, just because you don't feel it, that does not mean you don't have an issue. Same thing with blood sugar. A perfect example. Not everybody notices. I mean, people are used to not kind of feeling tired or whatever, but some people will say, oh, I feel great. And then you look at their blood sugar and you're like, whoa.
Well, I was one of those. As you recall from my story, I had perfectly normal fasting blood sugar of 85. And when I tested it after eating a bowl of pineapple and it shot up to 167 and blueberries 136, and then as I looked at, well, hey, every time my blood sugar goes up, I'm causing damage, I'm causing stiffening. My mother died at 56 of a heart attack. My father died at 62. There's no old people in my family. I probably have the genes that predispose me to heart attack. I need to clean this up. And I was on a perfectly fine vegan raw foods diet, but I was eating too much sweet and I was not sleeping enough. So we have so much that we can share to empower people. It's just quite amazing.
Right. We sure
right.
do. Sure do.
Yes.
Thank
you. So what was your question?
Well, my question is I've lately something is kicking my rear end. I had a couple of weeks ago about with something that thank God didn't really last the acute wicked phase of it didn't last longer than 24 hours. It was coming out of every orifice, vomiting and the other end at the same time. And my, as you know, my temperature tends to run 97, and my temperature went up to 101, and I was so ill and I was home alone, and I couldn't even walk. I mean, I was like passed a couple of times, thought I was passing out, and I don't know what it was, but thank God it passed. I'm hoping it was just something that I ate. I was at an animal charity function that I was hoping to go over and meet a doctor who was presenting, who had done a lot of NIH studies. And I said, I hadn't been feeling great, but I really needed to get over there. They encouraged me. They sent me an invitation last minute when they heard that this was an MD that was speaking. So I said, okay, I'm going. And the next day I was very sick. But anyway, that cleared up. And I've been having a lot of challenges, even more so recently with fatigue. And it just made me think everything I'm taking on, because, as you know, I've been spread pretty thin with the house and that's all and everything else that's going on. But what was that?
The stress,
right? I know. And I'm just wondering, I've been checking my blood sugar. This morning it was great. It's, you know, it's usually around in the 70s to 80. Sometimes it'll be in the 60s. You know, I don't have a big blood sugar issue, but still in all, I probably should be checking it over everything I eat. It's like, at what point do you think, well, maybe something I'm eating could be causing this? I don't know. I'm thinking about doing a fast. At that center, I have to have some extensive work done in my mouth, and I won't be able to eat solid food. And I'm like, well, what a perfect time to try to
do a fast or a juice cleanse. Yeah,
right.
I'm going to just interrupt here for a second, because Lynn had a very similar experience a few weeks back, and she had this vomiting diarrhea thing, and it lasted for probably 24 hours. And then she was just exhausted for weeks. And she traced it down to having taken a fulvic acid mineral supplement, which I happen to have given her. And I haven't had a chance to look at the research she had looked at, but that's in some people it causes that kind of an adverse reaction. So I would ask you if you did anything like that, like added a new supplement or something that might have triggered a detox reaction that created that. So that's one thing I want to just throw out there you might want to look back at.
And it caused a fever like that in her?
Yeah, she even had a fever, an up and down, you know, to go up to 100 and then go down. Yep, absolutely.
I mean, I thought I had, I'm like, why? I was laying there kind of half conscious, and I'm like, I don't remember putting a heating pad in my bed. I felt my ribs, and I'm like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, my God, it's me.
So you might want to look at that. She sent me an article, which I haven't had a chance to read, but she could send you that. But in terms of, I think fasting would be an awesome thing for you to do. Fasting is what turned my health around completely, so I'm a big proponent of it if it's done in a way that's supervised.
Right, and I've done 5-day water fasts myself, but by the end of the five and a half days, I was like, okay, I think I need some intervention here. I really probably should be doing that supervised for sure, but my shoulder. Finally, it got to the point where I had to have it looked at, and they MRI'd it, and I'm having bone cysts and things from the way they reattached my bicep tendon, and it's time to fix it. So we're going in, and I begged, pleaded, and did everything I could to try to do the block like you did with your arm. And they said, no way, not with the extensive shoulder surgery. They said that we could do the block if it was below, like your elbow or below, but because we're up there near your airway and the amount of things that they have to do, there's 4 incisions, and I've got a fantastic surgeon, thank God. He's the Giants and 49ers, and he's such a sweetheart, and he's open to the things I've told him about, and he's just, you know, totally great guy. I'm in really good hands, and he didn't even want to have to do this, but he finally said, yeah, it looks like, you know, if we're going to get you well and finally get your health back and get you back to a state where you can work, we need to intervene here.
Yep. So there's a time where you have to just say, okay, I've got to do it, like Laura went through recently with her hip. You know, you get to a point where you got to do something, and you do it. And then you do the best you can for recovery. And, you know, you do all the natural things to keep the inflammation down, to support your immune system, to support the collagen repair and all that.
Right. And there's just too many different things at once happening that, you know, I've gotten to the point where I'm struggling too much, and that, you know.
Yeah.
I'm
going to interrupt you here just because we've got four more people waiting to ask questions. So I want to get, you know, I want to keep it direct, like the question that I can help you most with right now.
Okay. Well, can I add one more thing before we go? Because
sure.
I wanted to say, you know, you and I know a lot of people deal with sprains and injuries, and I sprained my ankle really, really badly. We thought I had an avulsion fracture on Friday, and I haven't been able to, or hadn't been able to bear weight. And I went home and I did the ginger and turmeric. Hello.
The shot. Yeah,
well,
the juice.
No. I put it on bandage. I made the tea.
Oh, compresses.
I drank it. Compress is the word. It wouldn't come. And I put the compress and around my ankle and it was actually the foot, the top of the foot where you would have an avulsion fracture, the tip of your tibia. And I was absolutely floored that the next day I was able to bear weight on it. I mean, Larry had to carry me on his back up 16 stories. I couldn't put any weight on it. I was able to like hop one step, and I was just so exhausted I didn't have the energy to get up. So I just wanted everybody to know I did the turmeric with ginger in the tea. I blended it first in a little like Nutribullet thing, took a little tea strainer, pressed some of the pulp and got the juice out, added just a tiny bit. They say a little bit of fat helps the turmeric do a better
right.
job. So a tiny bit of, I did a hemp oil one time and coconut oil, mixing them up. And then some lemon, stevia, and a twist of black pepper. Increases
yep.
turmeric by 1,000 times.
I know, it's amazing.
So that made the most delicious kind of hot toddy drink. So, here
so you
I was
drank it and you applied it.
I drank it and I applied it. And I just
Great.
Wanted everybody to know, we went to get an x-ray. I was sure I had an avulsion fracture. It was that kind of pain. I couldn't, mm-hmm. I mean, I was just like, even to just pull the sock off. I was just like out of my mind. And I am a really tough bird when it comes to pain. I don't like to get, you know, Novocaine at the dentist or anything. And when it was that bad, I knew something was up. But that's how bad a strain or sprain can be. And, you know, but that natural remedy was amazing.
Oh, yeah, that's great to know, because we all, you know, have to deal with people with sprains and strains in our own families and our own selves. So thank you for sharing that. That's great.
Yeah, so it was just a little bit of the pulp of the root of ginger and turmeric applied to the gauze, applied to the side of the foot. I put a plastic produce bag over that and then a sock. And,
with the root, the actual ginger root and the turmeric
root.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Fresh pieces of root. So there
Great.
You have it. And
Great.
I made
Thank
the
you.
Tea and, yeah, so there
awesome.
You guys go. Mm-hmm.
Sounds awesome.
Yep. So I'll
Thank
be at surgery
you.
Next week. So I'll be,
well, we'll keep sending you healthy vibes and, you know, make sure you do your pre-surgery. Lynn put up a really nice pre-surgery thing on the Facebook page. There's a file there, so take a look at that.
Oh, thank you, Lynn. You guys are awesome. All right. I'll be thinking about you, too, on Tuesday also. Appreciate it. I'll be
All
on
right.
the calls. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. All right. So we have whoever has got their hand up, but I didn't mention it's you're not Laura and you're not Eleanor. Who are you?
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. This is Isabel. How are you?
Oh, hi, Isabel. Okay, I wonder why you come
Good.
Up.
I'm on my phone. That's why it doesn't show.
Okay.
Okay. Actually, I got a couple of questions. I got one that arises out from the blood sugar question, and I have this going on the Facebook, too. So this is regarding my husband. So we've been eating kind of eating pretty healthy, cut out the fruit and the grain. But for some reason, his triglyceride level went up, like 70 points. And you mentioned about the ratio. The ideal ratio is 1:1, but his is 170:52, so that's like 4 times.
Yeah, that's 4 times. More. That's a problem.
Yeah, and I was just puzzled. It was 110 6 months ago, but during the last 6 months, we've been cutting down on carb, eating healthier.
Are you eating too much animal protein? Sometimes people do that, and it really shoots it up, or animal fat.
Okay, so I think I wouldn't say more than we used to.
Yeah. And what about omega-3s? The things that affect the triglycerides are sugars, and that can be, you know, the fruit, the grains, you know, any other
things.
That's
all
of
cut out.
All
yeah,
the starches. Have you been testing his blood sugar?
No, that's the next step that I'm going to do.
Yeah, I would test his blood sugar. I would also test his hemoglobin A1C to see what's going on there.
Yeah, that's 5.4 6 months ago.
It's a little bit higher than it should be, but
it's
not 5.6. Terrible.
It's
5.6. Oh, it went up from 5.4 to 5.6.
Yeah, it went up a little bit.
Yeah, so something's causing a stress in his system, which is causing that to go up. I would start checking his blood sugars and see,
because
there may be something that you don't even realize that's raising his blood sugar. I would be looking at his omega-3 fats.
Okay.
Because those are super important. So, you know, the obvious ones like chia seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, walnuts, but also he may not be converting. So I'd be looking at his magnesium levels, his zinc levels.
Okay, and
make
where
sure
do I
converting.
Look for that, the magnesium? Where do I get that tested?
Well, you really look at symptoms more than anything else. We have on the site a list of questionnaires that give you a sense of if people have symptoms in those problems in those areas. I mean, you could do a SpectraCell test if you wanted to for all the nutrients. Those are not cheap tests. They're like $500 or $550.
Okay.
So not everybody's willing to run out and get one of those tests, but that's certainly a way to do it. I would be looking at making sure he has EPA and DHA in his diet.
Okay.
Right. Because a lot of times when people cut out the grains, they increase something else. So you're either increasing the fat or the meat.
Okay.
So it might be that he's sensitive. Maybe he's taken in more coconut, and that can raise it in some folks. You know, maybe it's just more fat because you've taken out the starches.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be looking at that. Like, what is he eating protein-wise? Maybe he's getting too much meat. Are you making sure if he does eat meat that it's organic and that it's small quantities?
Okay, Yeah, and I was just posted on there. It's more strange that 2 years ago we weren't eating healthy. I mean, not as healthy, and his cholesterol was just fine. It was like, you know, so I was just wondering what was causing
curious.
Him.
Curious. Yeah, that's very curious.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's true. Yeah, I mean, because normally I would say, oh, yeah, you got healthier, but now you're eating too much fruit or you're eating too much grain or something.
Yeah.
I get the blood sugar meter because it just might, there may be something else. Is he under a lot of stress?
From time to time, some, but there's none like a very stressful event that happened. It's just the regular stress from work.
Not more so that now than it was 6 months ago?
No.
Yeah,
so everything is pretty constant, and we've been eating better and more organic wild caught fish and less grain, less fruit.
And if you're just doing less, it might just be that what he's doing is just still a little bit too much.
Okay. Yeah, so
I would get the blood sugar meter and start testing him.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'll definitely start from there. That's my first question. My second question is regarding constipation. I have a patient that she is on a lot of medication, and she's also on zinc, magnesium dioxide, and she's doing herbal, too, for laxatives, some kind of laxative. She's, like, taking 3 different types and still having constipation problem. And so I was just wondering, I've recommended her to do smoothie, GSE, aloe vera, but she's taking the magnesium and other stuff that doctor prescribed her. So I'm wondering, where should I start?
Yeah. It's a good question. So as far as magnesium, I would say magnesium citrate or citrate, some people say, tends to be the most effective at helping the bowels move. If she's taking like a prescription magnesium, I'd be a little concerned.
She's
said she's on a bunch of meds, and a lot of meds can interfere with the motility of the gut.
Yeah. So I guess the question, how do I get that back? How do I get her natural ability to have bowel movement back?
It depends on what she's eating. Like how much fat is she eating, how much protein, how much fiber, how much vegetable matter. Is she eating gluten?
She's trying to get off, but she's not completely 100%.
Okay, so that's a starting point. I would say, is she exercising?
No, she can't. She's almost 70 years old, and she has problem with her knee, so she can't really move.
She can do upper body exercise. You know, people use all that as excuses, really, that they can't exercise. That's a big part of moving the bowels, is keeping the body moving. So you can have her get there's a little like a bicycle thing that can sit on the tabletop that she could do upper body exercises. She can get little 1-pound weights and do upper body movement. She needs to move. The other thing I would incorporate would be an abdominal massage. Get her in there to do just really keep that motility. Yeah.
Okay. And yoga, I have her do yoga twists because she can really move, so I said do that.
Yeah, and then the other thing you might want to look at is her thyroid, because thyroid problems can cause constipation, and a lot of medications will interfere with thyroid function.
She does have thyroid problem, and she's on thyroid medication.
Well, that doesn't mean her thyroid problem is fixed, though. That's the problem, right?
It's not, yeah.
Right? So you want to look at her full thyroid panel, which we're going to talk more about next month, but her full thyroid panel, which would have the free T3 in it and antibodies. Right? If she's on thyroid medication but she has autoantibodies, it's going to be attacking the thyroid and it's not going to be functioning. And even if all the numbers look perfect, you know, her free T3 was tested, it's perfect, which I doubt it is because it doesn't sound like it would be. But even if it was, then if she has stress on the system, then her cortisol levels could be off. So that's looking at her adrenals as part of the problem too.
Okay, so she kind of have everything she has stress to.
It's all of it, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just like, where do I start? It's just like I got everything.
Well, you start with the foundations. You make sure she's off of gluten and other irritants. You make sure she's got some good probiotics going on to keep things moving. And sometimes really high doses for a while will help to move things through.
Okay. So when you say high doses, how high is high doses?
Oh, a couple hundred billion organisms a day.
Okay.
For a week or so. I would look also at, you know, how is her digestion, right? Is she get gas, bloating? So I always start with the foundations and the digestion. Make sure those are clear. Mm-hmm. Make sure they're eating the fresh whole foods. Make sure she's getting plenty of fiber to keep things moving. If she's not actually able to do lower body exercise, you get her moving to keep things going through. You make sure that since she's on a lot of medications, she's probably got some liver issues, right? So you want to reduce the toxic load and do some liver support. So those are the places I would be looking at. I would look up every medication. That's what I typically do with people. I look up all the medications they're on and just kind of get a sense of how they work and what some of the side effects are.
Okay.
And you know, worst case, you get her to do some enemas to get things moving.
Okay, so I was looking for something that she could do kind of right now to relieve that
while you're working on the underlying causes.
Yeah.
It is important to keep things moving. Health Force has a decent, very gentle intestinal movement formula. Some of them are really rough, and it's really hard for people to handle.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Okay. That's it. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
You're welcome. You know, starting points are always, you start with the foundations. What foundation pieces is she doing? What is she not doing? You work with that. You work with digestion. And then you start to work with the other issues that are going on.
Okay, yeah. And it's kind of tough that she does some of the recommendation, but not all of it. So it's like 1 week she's doing you know, she's doing pretty good. The next week she's eating out like 50% of the time.
Right. Oh, yeah, there you go. I mean,
yeah.
So some of this stuff, you know, as we work with people, it's knowing the physiology, anatomy, and all that, but it's also a big piece of it is working with their psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, how well do you want to get this problem solved? Like, I don't have a magic wand.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have techniques and processes for you to put into place, but there's no magic herb, there's no magic bullet. It's a matter of really working towards it. And how important is it to get this problem solved?
Mm-hmm.
Right? You can't eat in restaurants on a regular basis and eat gluten and not exercise and be able to solve your health problems, because we're not magicians.
Yeah.
We're not magicians. Sometimes I wish I had the magic wand, but I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really helping people to choose to do the work.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's a big psychology job too.
Yeah, it is. She is like one of my first clients, and but she's like got everything there is. So it's like,
oh boy. Yes.
Yeah. So okay.
Yes. All right. Okay. Great.
Thank you.
All right. So that was Isabel, and now we have Laura and then Eleanor. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie. I was wondering, I had some blood work done recently, and I uploaded it to the uploader, and I was just wondering if you had a sec if you could take a look at it.
Sure. Let me open it up. I have the uploader stuff going. Let me go back to, let me see if I can get in here twice. M-A-C-H. Okay, so I'm going to type in the word uploader, and you did it to the NEPT uploader, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. ERC, let's show more results. INE file uploader, here we go. 31 minutes ago, I see it. Let's see. Okay. Co-infection labs, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see what we have here. Yeah, I'm not a Lyme expert, so I just want to make sure that you're aware.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
There's some, like, issues with my immunity, like the IgG subclass 3 was low. And it looks like I have a chronic mono infection. The Epstein-Barr virus was really, really high.
Mm.
And, like, they told me off the charts high.
I'm looking now. So, and just for everybody's reference, whenever you give me a lab that has all the, you know, CBCs and everything else in it, it's much easier for me to read if you give it to me in the spreadsheet, because then I have my ideal ranges. Some of them I don't have memorized. It's just so much easier to do that. Let's see, neutrophils.
Sorry, I'll do that next time.
Yeah. So they tested you for some of the HLA markers, and you've got a couple of them.
Yeah. They told me I had, like, 3 that were specific for mold.
Yeah.
So, like, if my body has any exposure to mold, that it just keeps recirculating it, that it can't have a really
get rid of it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't know if you guys knew of any tips or tricks or things that were helpful with the mold toxicity, because...
Yeah, there's probably some good things you can do here. Let me see. I'm just looking at, you have an IgG. You have a subclass 3. IgG 3 is low. I forget which IgG is. I think IgG 4 is the mucosal. But I don't remember. I have to look that one up. Wow, EBD.
Yeah. I asked them, I was like, is that why I feel so crummy all the time eating a really clean diet? And they were like,
yeah, look at this. You've got a huge load.
Yeah, apparently it's very common in Lyme, but it's really, really high.
Yeah. So
I don't ever remember getting mono.
Yeah, that happens with a lot of people, and it just it's probably related to the Lyme. Let me look back. I'm just looking at the rest of this. Okay. So I would say antiviral type approaches, immune system support and antiviral would be where I would look at this in addition to whatever else you're doing. I'm just going all the way down. This is a very long report, 7 pages. I'm on page 7. Okay. C-reactive protein is a little higher than I would like to see it. So there's definitely it's an inflammatory marker. Good on the negative ANA, good on the negative. Okay, so, yeah. So one of the things with chronic EBV is that antiviral herbs can be helpful, but they need to be rotated because your body will get used to it, and especially in a Lyme situation. So you can look at various antiviral type things. Well, certainly oregano and thyme are good ones. Isatis is another one. That's a good antiviral. Echinacea can be. Oregon grapefruit can be. And you want to rotate them, you know, not take the same one over and over again. There are some antiviral formulas. I think Thorn has one that would combine some of these, although it makes it harder to rotate them, but you can rotate formulas somewhat. I would make sure you're on high dose, like bowel tolerance dose vitamin C, because that can knock it out, and make sure your vitamin A is good. And okay. So I would just take some preformed vitamin A, just in case, and you might even do what's called a loading dose of vitamin A for, you know, 5 days of taking 100 IUs of vitamin A. Now, you don't want to continue that long term because it could be toxic. But 5 days of it can knock out serious infections. I would do that with the vitamin D, with the vitamin C, and just give yourself like a 5-day course of super physiologic doses of it in addition to some of the antivirals. You might even start with a whole slew of antivirals right at the beginning and then, you know, just do that for a week and then go to rotate them. You know, oregano this week, thyme this week, isatis this week, echinacea, you know, Oregon grape, and then go back and start again. And then maybe once a month do the whole range of it, or once every 5 weeks or something. Do all of them for a week and then go back and rotate them. So it's like you're giving your body this super get it rid of it and then gone. And this, it says it's kind of acute stage, so you may be able to knock this out pretty quickly. And then I go back and retest those antibodies.
Okay. Thank you. And is there a vitamin A brand that you recommend or like?
There's a number of them. I use Seeking Health Micellize. I love liquid. The micellized liquids just tend to be so much better absorbed. And it's a real easy one to take because one drop is 5,000. So if you're trying to take that super high dose of 100,000 for a few days, you're basically taking 20 drops, which is pretty darn easy to do, right? It's not like you have to take a handful of pills. And you can do that for 5 days, and then you can just go on a 10,000 a day, so 2 drops a day for a few months, and then go back to a maintenance of one. But that can really be helpful.
Yeah, this is interesting to get in when I saw this after getting the adrenal testing done and going, oh.
I wonder your stress.
Yeah, there's a load taxing the body right now.
There's a huge load, yeah.
And should I, with starting the protocols for the virals, do I keep doing everything that I'm doing for the adrenals? Just keep supporting those with?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, I didn't know if it was like take a break from the adrenals and focus on this, or
I wouldn't
support at all.
No, I wouldn't take a break from the adrenals, not at all, because they need it. I mean, this is a huge load.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. That gives me some help.
Yeah, you're welcome. There are some places if you do like an antiviral herbs search, if you want to look for some additional ones to rotate. You can certainly look in, if you want to look at formulas. I know Thorn tends to have one, and what's some of the others that might?
Yeah, that's helpful because I found a Lyme literate doctor, and we talked, and we're really going to take, you know, an herbal and a holistic approach to this.
Yeah.
Instead of going the antibiotic route, because I'm allergic to a lot of antibiotics, and my body just doesn't respond well to antibiotics.
Right.
You know, going on long-term IV dose antibiotics just didn't sit well with me.
Oh, that could be really bad for you, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I would. That's what I would do. I'm looking to see if I forgot any of the my most favorite. Those are my favorite antivirals. All right.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Eleanor.
Hello, hello. I also uploaded, but I did it the last call. I didn't make it in, I think it was
okay.
The last NEP toll.
Yeah, let me pull it up.
It's a client workbook or a spreadsheet, whatever you
okay.
want to call it.
Yeah, let me pull it back up. I had it in this other, here we go. I'll go back to file uploader, and, oh, it lost it. Okay. Eleanor. All right. Looks like a couple of looks like a couple of others came in too. So here's Eleanor's.
And basically, what I did was I cut and paste. I didn't send you the whole spreadsheet, you know, because it's so big. But this is somebody I've worked with for a while, so I know they have blood sugar problems. I know they have uric acid problems. They've got thyroid, the Hashimoto's, and low vitamin D. So I'm just looking for you to look at this and see if there's anything else, anything I'm missing that I really could be working on that maybe is, because I've been working with them for a while.
Okay, so what's the deal with their blood sugars? Why aren't they coming? They came down from the beginning, but there's no, they're up.
Well, the last one I think might have, it actually did come down from the beginning, but the last one I think was a stressful day because it was actually the first time they went out to an actual lab using my, you know, my, using direct labs. So usually they go to a doctor's office and I think it was, stressful experience. So that might
okay.
be why, but in the, their blood work has improved since the beginning, but I'm not getting it to the, to where it should
yeah.
be, and so I'm trying to find other things. I've been trying to get the uric acid down, which looks like it's coming down, and
yeah.
the vitamin D won't go up. His doctor actually suggested that it might be the vitamin K, but he wouldn't recommend him taking it without getting testing done for that. So
let me look at those numbers. I would say with the glucose, is he compliant with the dietary things?
Yes, he is, yes.
So and what happens to the blood sugars during the day? Do they go up from here, or do they stay?
He'll only test in the morning. He won't test during the day.
Okay, so we don't know what foods might be raising it, even though they might be on the okay list. Is he, like, following, like, a strict metabolic reset diet?
Yeah, pretty much. Only eating, the only fruits he eats is apples and blueberries. That's it.
That could be enough.
Yeah.
That could be enough, because he's not willing to test, right? Right, simple things. Red bell pepper
yeah.
could make it go up, right? But if you don't test it, you don't know.
Yeah.
So I think I think this is a good time to say to him, look, we've been working on this. There's some things going on. We haven't gotten your blood sugars where they need to be. Let's start testing throughout the day. And only test those particular foods for now, right?
Okay.
See what's happening with them. But I think... You know, it's hard when you don't get the right information. Yeah, so the uric acid is definitely getting back. Is he drinking enough water?
Yeah, he's a pretty big water drinker, yeah.
Okay, so he's drinking at least half his body weight.
Yeah, he actually uses going to get water, you know, from the as a exercise, get him up and moving around during the day at work. So,
okay, good.
I thought
some
of these
else
markers.
Is fairly decent. I'm looking at the January
good.
Ones because everything except for the glucose and uric acid look pretty darn good. The alk phos is a little on the low side. So I would look at his zinc levels.
Yeah, I just started him on zinc.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something I just started with him, yeah.
All right. I mean, liver enzymes look decent.
Okay, good.
Iron is low, very low. For a guy, 58, holy cow. So I would be looking at his iron. What can we do to raise his iron? Has he taken any kind of multi-mineral supplement?
He is. He takes lots. I have lots of supplements, so he's taking lots of supplements.
But he multi-mineral needs more iron.
Okay.
He needs more iron. You could go with like a liquid iron, or you could go with Yellow Dock to try to help it, and that'll help all the minerals.
Okay.
But he definitely needs iron. He's at 58. I mean, a guy, you know, he should be over 100.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Cholesterols look good. Triglycerides, you know, even though the glucose is high, HDLs are super low. Holy cow. And does he exercise beyond going to the water cooler?
Yeah, I had him started, but we can't really get it up enough to get it to affect the HDLs. I mean, he knows that the exercise is the way to do that, but he walks like 3 times a week. He does Pilates. He was doing it twice a week. He's down to once a week, but it just is not. He really must need to really exercise a lot to have that impact here, because it's not having an impact.
Yeah, so he needs to get the exercise. Is he doing omega-3s?
Yes.
What's he taking?
He takes it in the morning and the evening, so it's the recommended from the Before Be Gone. That's how much he takes.
So EPA and DHA or just?
Yes, both. The tablet
both?
Both, yeah.
And he's taking it in fish oils or algae or both?
Fish oils, and I just started him on Quill just to see if that made a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, the exercise makes a huge difference, too.
Yeah, so he's really going to have to find some bigger type of exercise to do.
Right. Right. His thyroid looks okay. I wonder why some of these turned green and some of them are white. It's white. I guess this is
white
the other one.
White is outside of your range, right?
Yeah,
white
I wonder why. Because white, I thought that was yellow. I thought we had, do you have an older sheet? Huh.
Yeah, so white means outside ideal range.
Okay, yeah, so 4.66 on the thyroid, T4. Free T3 is good, though. Free T4 is good. Reverse T3, let's see what's the ratio. So we have 12. I always have to go to that silly thing because I can't do it right because of the picos versus the nanos. So let me just go to my little tools. Here we go. RT3 ratio. So his, I always like to look for you guys, if you're looking at reverse T3 and free T3, you can't look at the absolute number on reverse T3. You have to compare it to free T3. So his free T3 is 3.2. And that's nanomole. PG for mLs probably. Let's see. Picograms per ml, and then 12.5 on the let's just see what that ratio is. Oh, his ratio is fine, his free T3, so that's not an issue. I don't think, even though his TSH is a little high, I think that, you know, it means his pituitary is working harder to stimulate the thyroid, but he's converting so his cells are seeing it. So there may be some issues going on, and I might be looking at iodine for this guy.
You know, I still haven't done the iodine. That is on my list to recommend, the iodine test. Okay.
Oh, my, he's got, 2.246 on his thyroid peroxidase. Is he gluten-free?
Pretty much. He's, yeah.
Yeah,
I know. He's not. I'm not going to.
He's not gluten free then. No.
Yeah,
I mean,
I know.
I don't want to hear pretty much. With gluten free, I want to hear yes or no. Right? There's no thing in between. Are you pregnant? Yes or no? There's only two answers. Not like maybe a little bit, pretty much most of the time. Same thing with gluten free. Is he gluten free?
So no.
Yes or no?
No, he's not gluten free.
He's got to go gluten free. That can affect this whole thing. His thyroid, he's got thyroid antibodies. Okay? This is key. This is probably contributing. Does he have digestive problems too?
None that I know of, but I'm treating him for H. pylori. I mean, he doesn't complain of any digestive problems, but he's being treated for H. pylori.
Or anything. He's got to go gluten-free. Mm-hmm. He's got to go 100% gluten-free, and he's got to measure his blood sugar. This is not, you know, this is his thyroid's being slowly destroyed, and he's still running okay. His free T3 is okay. His conversion is okay. I mean, he's actually, fortunately, he has testosterone in his system. That's what's helping him here. Because his free T4 is low. He's over-converting for what he's making. And the testosterone is actually helping to have enough free T3 in his system. But it's not good. He's got to get this fixed.
Okay,
and that can help everything. Antioxidants, I would look at OxyCell. Have you looked at OxyCell for him, the cream?
To put on the,
the glutathione cream?
Yes, he has that.
He has that, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so I would have you go to the chart I gave at Shine with the, you know, all the different types of thyroid manifestations and then what you can do, what the various herbs are. And I would look at what he's not doing, but the thing is he's not gluten-free.
Yeah.
And there may be other food allergies there. I don't think he's going to get rid of the H. pylori. I don't think he's going to get rid of the gout. I don't think he's or gouty tendencies anyway, the high uric acid, or get his blood sugar under control until he gets his gluten out of his diet.
Okay.
That's just my observation here.
Okay.
You know, his white blood cell counts are decent. His lymphs are a little high. Neutrophils, what else is low? Monocytes.
Yeah, his neutrophils, I couldn't really reconcile between that lab and why the numbers were so different, so I just put them in there.
Yeah, I'm not real concerned about that piece.
Okay.
So RDW is high because his iron is low. He might possibly, because his MCV is decent, with that low in iron, he may actually have a folate or B12 deficiency too. So you see what I mean? Like with an iron that low, I would expect his MCV to be lower. But it's not. It's just right in the range. So what it could be is that he also has a B12 or folate deficiency, and between the two, they're bringing it down. And the reason I say it is because his RDW is up elevated.
Okay, now is this one of the ones that you could have a SNP that could interfere with?
Yes, this is a SNP. Have you ordered a 23andMe yet?
That was actually something that I wonder if I should do for him.
I would.
We may be fighting a losing battle here without that.
I would, because, and that'll maybe give you some ammunition with him too.
Okay.
Especially if he shows up with that that DQ8 or whatever the one for gluten is. You know, I think that this might be helpful. I think it would be helpful because it'll at least help you tailor some of this and understand. But I think, he's got to get this right.
Yeah, that was a big thing I actually wanted to ask you, because I was just wondering if this was a losing battle because we really don't know what's going on 21andMe-wise,
Just do the 23andMe, but you got to get them gluten-free.
Yeah, okay.
He's got to be convinced. How often is he eating gluten?
Once a month or, like it's only out in public. He many times he doesn't eat it, but it's only when he's someplace in public. That's the thing that doesn't eat it at home.
Mm-hmm. But you know how they talk about even one little morsel on a monthly basis keeps the antibodies elevated.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 months.
I know.
Gluten-free.
6 months, okay.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, and what do you think about this DHEA? I mean...
Oops, I didn't get that far down.
Yeah.
So the vitamin D has to come up. So how much vitamin D is he taking?
5,000.
Yeah, can you sue up to $20,000 for a month and then go to $10,000 for 2 months and then retest it?
$10,000 for 2 months, okay.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I would say a little bit of K2 with it, but not a huge amount. Just get K2 separately and just have a little bit of K2 just to protect his bones.
And how do you take K2? Can you order K2 just by itself?
Yeah, go to Thorne. They have it.
Okay.
Liquid K2. Just take it.
A liquid. Okay.
Yeah. DHEA. Yeah, low. Ooh. Have you done his adrenal test?
He's doing DHEA every day.
He's doing DHEA every day.
Yeah, so he was the one that I gave too much to start with, and so he had a big jump. You see back there in the...
The 273.
Yeah, and then I put it down to the, you know, the normal...
He may need it.
But
he
I'm
may
afraid,
need it.
You know, I got nervous that...
Yeah, he mm-hmm. may need it.
Okay.
What were you giving him before, 25?
Yeah, I was given one dose of 25.
One dose of 25.
Yeah, and then so now, you know, then I split it to three, but I still it was too high because you said to keep it down to like two drops, three
yeah,
times a day.
Yeah, but I'm looking at this. Look what happened, right? There's theory and then there's reality.
Yeah.
So he got it, the 25. I would split the 25 by three, and that might be the trick for him.
And that won't shut down the normal, his normal process, you know, because that's
no,
the cause thing.
No, because he's not making it.
Okay.
Yeah. You can probably get him there, keep him there, and then just gradually move it down and meanwhile test it to find the ideal dose. But 273 is still not all the way up to where we want it to be.
Okay, so you would take the 25, divide it by 3, and give it to him 3 times a day.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I'd probably do like 9 3 times a day.
Nine,
which would three, only be about 8 drops. We'd do 8 drops 3 times a day.
Okay.
And just see how it goes and then retest it.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got to get his DHEA up.
Okay, great.
Okay?
Yeah, that's a lot. Huh? he's got a lot
well,
to do
for
here.
For men,
but,
it's
yeah.
not. For men, it's not really. It's just a matter of you don't want to overdo it. But for men, that's not. I would never give a woman that much unless it was a really serious
oh, okay.
situation. But for men, okay. it's not a big deal.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, good.
All right.
Thank you.
You're
yes,
welcome.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right. How are we doing on time? Lynn. Okay, so Margie Henneman was having trouble asking questions. How bizarre. So, Lynn, that needs to be reported to Stacy so she could check her tags. I'm currently getting assessment of health history on Kathy. However, these concerns, after listening to the radio show, is about lead in her bones. Kathy is pending her endocrinologist. Okay, so she's been pending in a... Okay, she has been on Fosamax for 2 years. Says her bones have responded except her spine. Her score is minus 4.3. Calcium was too low in November. Doctor raised her yogurt, greens, almond milk. I'd get her off yogurt. Last month, her blood calcium was too high. The November calcium spill from 24 was high. April, it was worse. She's taken the daily 40-0 shots. I'm not sure what 40-0 shots is. I would be looking at her parathyroid gland if her thyroid is swinging like that. So you can have them test her for parathyroid hormone. Because oftentimes there's something going on with the parathyroid and that controls the uptake of calcium. So I would be looking at her parathyroid. I don't know what 40-0 is. However, she's told that she will outlive her spine if there's no progress. So, you know, Fosamax, first of all, if you want real good information on, if you want real good information on bones, betterbones.com, Dr. Susan Brown has some great information there. She's got some great products. It's obviously not calcium, and she may actually be having too much calcium. So I would say you want to look at her vitamin D levels. You want to look at her K2. So So she's not taking vitamin D and K2. If she's low in vitamin D, you got to get her on that. I would be looking at bone fortifying nutrition. So first of all, I don't know what she's eating, right? So yogurt, not a good idea. Lots of problems with yogurt and bone health. It's too acidifying, which it leaches the calcium out of the bones, and that's why she may be seeing calcium leached into her urine that high. But blood calcium, blood calcium is usually maintained very, very closely. Even if you take too much calcium, it's not going to go too high. If you don't have enough calcium, it generally doesn't go too low, within a range. So there's something in the blood, in that mechanism there, and I would be looking, having the doctor look at her parathyroid. Do an ultrasound of the parathyroid, do a parathyroid test, and do an ionized calcium test. Ionized calcium test, okay? Have her do some bone-supportive nutrition like nettles and horsetail and silica-containing foods like that. Get her, and I don't know her D and her K2, and those are going to help support her bone health. It's not her calcium. I don't think she should be taking calcium. What is Citracal? Is that Tums? I don't even know. Let me look it up. Citracal. It's a Walgreens brand supplement. It's probably filled with excipients and is not very well absorbed, and it just gets deposited. Calcium citrate, made by the Bayer Company, that instills lots of trust for me. I would get her off the Citracal. Second ingredient is polyethylene glycol. You know what that is? It's antifreeze. So she should be off of that. It's got magnesium stearate. Polyvinyl pyridylene, polyvinyl glycol dicaprolate. It's really a crappy supplement. I would get her off of this right now. Okay, it's just going to deposit. It's not going to create the kind of situation she wants. Get her some pure calcium citrate from Thorne or Pure Encapsulations if she needs calcium. I would prefer to get her on the high calcium stuff. I would get her off all calcium supplements. I would get her on some nettles, horsetail, alfalfa, greens, lots of green smoothies. Almonds are certainly good. Sesame seeds, good calcium, you know, organic sources of calcium. And magnesium, make sure she has good magnesium. And I would go head on over to the Better Bones place if she wants to buy some, you know, kind of supplements that are all together. Their supplements are okay, but they're balanced. She may need boron. There's so many other nutrients here, K2, to get that bone health back up. But she needs to do something now. She needs to do something now. We have an Eating for Bone Health class. We should be opening that up in the foundations of ERC within the next week. We're working on that, so you can go there and look at that. Because I've got a whole bunch of a list of all the nutrients and the support. I would be looking at brassicas, plenty of brassicas to support the bone and the bone turnover. We don't know anything about her estrogens. That could be an issue, too, because there's a ratio between different metabolites of estrogen, the 2s and the 16s. If she's too high on the 16s, she runs the risk of osteoporosis, and it's bringing that down. Looking at, the various brassicas, et cetera, looking at her ratios, looking at iodine. So there's a lot of things here. It's not a simple cut and dry, what supplement should she take for her bones. I would be looking at her entire diet. What is she eating? How acidic is her diet? Checking her pH. So I know this is a lot, but it's really super important stuff. And like I said, we should have that Eating for Bone Health piece out very soon, so you can look at that. And betterbones.com is a great place to look. So, yes. And the K2 and the D is important. So what's her K2? Look at her D levels. Okay. So I'm going to look on the site to see if there are any questions in, let's see, the INE. Okay, here we go. INE office hours. I'll look to see if anybody else posted there. Nothing recent. Okie dokie. Let me go back to the chat. Oh, the chat. The chat died, didn't it? Oh, this chat. It works sometimes. It works not other times. All right. Thank you, Lynn, for that. Anybody else? Any other questions? Got about 5 minutes. Then I have to go to another call. Vanessa. Hello, Vanessa. Hello?
Hello. Hi.
I can hear you now. Let me raise your volume. There we go. Okay, good.
I kind of have a similar situation that Eleanor was talking about, where a male, 33 years old, with iron serum of 43.
True.
Yeah, and he's wondering why he's exhausted. And MCV of 93. So I was wondering if it was a possible B12 deficiency.
B12, folic acid, possibility, folate, plus mm-hmm. iron combination. What's his RDW?
13.8.
Yeah. Yep. He's probably got both. That's why he's exhausted. You can start him on a B12, like a hydroxy, because if you don't know what his MTHFR is, you might get him in trouble with too many methyl groups if he has some other weird stuff going on. You probably mm-hmm. want to get a 23andMe so we can be sure about that. Mm-hmm. Maybe I would start him on maybe 150 micrograms of folate and 1,000 micrograms of hydroxy B12. You can get them on an iron supplement, like the Good State iron supplement is pretty decent. Or you can get them on Yellow Doc or a combination of the two. I'd be looking at what's his stomach acid like. Is he absorbing his nutrients well?
I highly doubt it.
Highly doubt it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. So he may have low stomach acid.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd be looking at the gut. Right? Whenever we have low mineral
right.
type things and anemia, we always want to look at the gut. So I would look at the gut.
Right.
I would look at his stomach acid. I would look at his enzymes and probiotics, just all the gut stuff.
Right.
But in the meantime, you want to give him what he needs. So I would give him the extra iron, either iron directly or Yellow Doc. I've had people, their Yellow Doc pulls their iron up in a matter of 6 weeks. So it does work.
Wow.
Yeah. I had somebody double their iron. She had like a 55 or 60, and it doubled up to 120 in a month, 6 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah. So it can work very quickly. She was doing like a teaspoon of the powder in her smoothies every day. You can get a tincture if he's, you know, males don't tend to be as compliant, I hate to say, but
right.
about putting stuff in, you know, a little tincture is easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and so also like a good B.
Good B complex, you can get a good multi-B to balance out, but then the extra of the folate and the B12.
Right, okay.
But just start with 150 micrograms. You can raise it up. If you go too fast on the folate, and they have some of the COMT SNPs that we'll talk about when we get there. But
right.
when you have that, then they tend to like pool their methyl groups, and they can have like detox reactions, so it feels like they're on a cleanse when they're not, you know, headachy and achy and spacey, brain foggy. So that's why I go really slow. And if you get up a little bit higher on that B12 folate and you have a problem, you pull it back down and make sure none of his supplements has any folic acid in it, because that'll interfere
right.
with that. Yeah, you already
right.
know that.
Even with an activated B complex, he'll still have that response.
Well, with an activated B complex, it depends. He may not, because he may not have
okay.
these SNPs that I'm thinking
yeah,
about.
Okay.
But if
right.
he had those particular SNPs, then he could get a pooling, yeah. Probably even more so with the activated, because it's the form that he's going to use. But make sure it's a methylfolate, L-methylfolate.
Okay.
Yeah?
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good questions.
You.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. I think we're done. So thank you. I want to hear really quickly on Tony. I want to hear Tony's update on her summit. How's the summit going, Tony? Oops.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Ah,
can
now
me?
I can. Yes, I can.
Okay, I had you on mute. I didn't want you to hear my husband in the background, as always. It's amazing. I have to thank everyone for their support, their kind words and comments. I'm just overwhelmed by the interest in the summit. We're at 1,900 and counting.
There's
still going up. And I'm getting a lot of feedback about the go-to guide, that it was important for me to do that. And I'll just say it quickly, because I've been on a lot of summits. I participated, and I had to make these notes, or I had to pay, you know, an ungodly amount of money to get the transcripts. And so I decided I wanted to give people something that they could take away that was useful. So I did the go-to guide, and
awesome.
That's been very well received.
I bet.
I mean, it's not very detailed, but it just gives enough information that you can, if you want more, you can go back to the speaker, the expert. And thank you so much for being one of our experts. Those numbers that I have to give all that credit to you, because you were number one on the first day, and I know a lot of people are interested in seeing you. And a lot of people, day three and four, were saying, well, we want that day one, two stuff. So I decided I'm going to do an encore presentation this weekend.
Oh, good. Starting, I'll let people know that.
Yeah, all 17 experts, including me, which I'm calling myself, are going to, it's going to be open and live. So if anybody missed it, if you guys, yeah. So anyway, thank you for asking. It was probably one of the most challenging things I've ever done in my life, including sitting for the CPA exam.
Wow. She's obviously never had a child or a teenager. So.
Okay. No. I haven't given birth to one, but lived with a couple of them. But, but thank you so much for your support and everybody
out
there. You're
welcome. My pleasure. It's my pleasure. So in terms of the, are you selling, I didn't even remember seeing that, but are you selling the packet of the replays, or are you just going to do the encore and that's it?
I'm just doing the encore for right now because so many people were so disappointed. And later on, I may package it and sell it. But for right now, I just want to give value to people that were supportive of the event. Yeah.
Well, it's nice. Yeah. I mean, it's in most of the summits you do have the opportunity to buy it, but I know that adds an extra layer of complexity to your whole process. And given it's your first one, and I think it's great. It's a give. It's a pure give.
Yes, it is, and it was, and but I'm very grateful I did. It gave me a lot of confidence. I'm now sort of viewed as an expert among experts, which was super important to me.
Yep.
So I'm very appreciative of the, and I would do it again. Actually, I'm going to do it again in 2016.
Great. And I'm going to give you a suggestion, though, and Andrea may have already suggested this, but I would suggest that, now that you've got this new people, that you start a series of follow-up emails and you just keep giving value to them, because you got 1,900 people plus whatever you had before on your list. You've got over 2,000 on your list now. And that you have an offer that you do very soon thereafter. Like you offer some sort of coaching program, or even if it's just a $97 something or a $25 2-hour, you know, something like that pulls things together that gives them action steps moving forward, or that offers your just coaching services, that you do a webinar and then you offer a free consultation on it that leads to, because now people know you. And don't lose the traction and the immediacy of people's interest. Like within 3 or 4 weeks, you just do I want to get you all back together, and then at the end of that, you offer a free consultation to get people there so that you can do an enrollment conversation with them.
Thank you so much for that suggestion. Actually, we're working on that. Part of my gift, because she interviewed me for the summit, and I was a little nervous about that, is that I gave away a 20-minute Get Your Health in Balance consultation and gave them a self-diagnostic nutrient assessment chart.
Great.
I'm doing a survey. I'm working on a survey now. It's 8 or 9 questions to ask people really how they want to best connect with me, what I can offer them, you know, the A, B, C, D, E kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then we're going to develop what they need.
Perfect.
And I already do have a webinar series that I've developed thanks to you. It's a series of four.
That's
that
right.
I did have
recorded.
And so I'm going to do that live. I'm going to do it live now.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Yay. You got it. You got it.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for just being so amazingly brave to step out and do this. So, yeah, it's awesome.
Oh, thank you. It's easy when I have support like you and everybody else in our community. So,
yeah. Well, thank you so much. Thank you, everybody. I need to run because we have another call starting in 1 minute. And I want to grab my water because my water's empty. So, talk about hydration. So, thank you, everybody. This has been great. And we'll talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.